Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Room 104 podcast with Cormac Moore.
FM 104.
It's Cormac here on Room 104. Good evening, hope you're well. You can get in touch on 0876797104. Now, the CD online world out there, how difficult, dangerous, fake, false is it? Well, someone who tried to change things up a little bit and delve into that world in 30 days, trying to become an Instagram influencer, joined us on the line now. Sally Burtnick, how are you?
Hello, Cormac, how are you?
I've always... I thought this was always going to be a great idea that I'd love to try at some stage, but never got around to doing it. But can you explain exactly what you did and how it went for you?
Yes, absolutely. So how would I describe myself? Just like a normal kind of girl, not a lot of makeup. I wear glasses. I'm kind of nerdy. What I did was that I was like, can I become an Instagram influencer in 30 days? And so I learned how to do makeup. I watched hours of YouTube tutorials on how to do contouring and highlighting and things I'd never heard of before.
Crucial.
And yes, exactly. It's crucial. I didn't know this. I thought that I was fine the way I was. Apparently not. Not if I want to get thousands of followers on Instagram. And I kind of changed the way I looked. I bought a bunch of like black spandex outfits, very form fitting, and not the way I usually dress. And I took a bunch of pictures of myself and I posted them online. That is more or less the way that it went. And then people started following me. I would start going around on Instagram and clicking follow on a bunch of strangers' profiles that I thought might like look like me or kind of be in the same realm as me.
Yeah.
And I tried to get like, the goal was that to get more than 3,000 followers in 30 days, but it didn't work out. But I did get like 1,700 followers at the end of the 30 days.
What were you starting from? Was it from zero, from a fresh new account, or were you starting from a couple of hundred?
No, zero. Fresh new account. New persona. Totally new persona. I was a goth thought.
Oh, yeah. So for people who aren't, if you can maybe explain what that term is, because I can picture it right now in my head, but I know some people may not.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we all know what goth is, you know, like lots of eyeliner, The Cure, Depeche Mode, stuff like that. But then thought is an acronym for that. Can I say that?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, we're late night. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay, that hoe over there. So it just means like, you know, kind of a slutty dresser. So I was a goth slutty dresser.
right. Okay. An interesting, and again, a really interesting project to do over the course of a month. But can we back up just one second as well, because I want to get your thoughts or your kind of opinion on, do you think a lot of young people, especially now in school, let's say 15, 16, 17, even younger, are saying now, I want to grow up to be a YouTuber and I want to grow up to be an influencer? And why do you think so many, you know, why do you think it seems to be such a desirable lifestyle to have, or at least the appearance of it is desirable?
Yeah. Well, so we live in this attention economy where instead of like monetary value online, it's attention. And so that goes for like advertising, you know, like sometimes people in advertisers will pay these YouTubers $1 million or something to talk about their brand, because it's a, you know, it's a free advertisement, essentially. If you talk about someone's brand, well, it's not free if you pay them $1 million. But I think it's really just, you know, kids really want to be praised for who they are, and they want people to pay attention to them. And these people online, they seem so cool. And it seems like, you know, people love them. A follow is more or less like a love, you know. It's like, yeah. Oh, if you have hundreds of thousands of people following you, it's like, well, all those people love me and are interested in me, you know?
Yeah.
That's why kids are really interested in it. But what I found over the course of the experiment is that, like, you cannot be yourself. It's, that's not, people will think you're weird or something. There's this sort of like, this sort of tone you have to adopt in order to be successful. You have to kind of dumb yourself down a little bit, or at least for the persona that I was trying to do.
Yeah, because that's what I wanted to ask as well. Like, over the month of this, it kind of probably became priority number one for you for at least 30 days. Was it healthy for you?
I mean, like, I would leave work. So I make documentaries at Vice. And this, we made this into a documentary, but I would like leave work in the middle of the day from working on other projects to just go and like take pictures of myself. And people would stare at me. I'd be wearing tons and loads of makeup, and people would be staring at me, like taking pictures of myself, like dangling over the railing of a, like across a bridge to get a really good shot of me with the East River water, New York skyline in the background. I mean, it really made me feel sad, I do have to say. It was depressing because it's like, it's not healthy to think about the way that you are perceived by others 100% of the time. You know, you have to like let your guard down at some point and just be yourself, and you know, kind of being constantly thinking about like, oh, are they going to like it if I post this, or should I post this? Is this showing too much skin, or will I get more likes if I like pose like this and really stick my butt out, you know?
And then just to jump in there, sorry to cut across to you, just on that, because I often wonder about how the algorithms shape people's content and decision making around content. Did you notice any trends with certain types of content were more provocative, you know, maybe sexualized posts or whatever, were they getting more interaction and engagement than, let's say, more normal boring ones?
Come on, what do you think? Of course they were. Of course. I really, really started to like lean into it, and like I'm not uncomfortable about my body. I'm a little too comfortable about my body. And I think that it's like kind of funny because, as I said, I'm kind of nerdy looking. I wear glasses and I'm like, I think it's funny for me to shake my butt. And I do that a lot. But like when I'm in this persona as being like super made up, and I'm like bent over, like showing my butt. Yeah. Those posts exploded. And what we learned from interviewing people that are like in this industry is that like, the more sexual the women are on their pages, that's going to draw a huge male audience. So then those women who are like really sexy online, yeah, they're going to get a huge audience, but advertisers aren't going to want to advertise with them, because women are supposed to speak to the women. Because what can a woman sell to a man, you know? I guess like body wash or something. but yeah, so it's like actually in the Instagram economy, women who are not as sexualized, they eventually get paid more money to advertise, but it's really hard to get followers in the first place if you're not sexualizing yourself somewhat.
And whose fault do you think it is that the overly sexualized content gets kind of more engagement, more likes, and a bigger followers? Is it just because there's a huge market of dirty, creepy old men at their computers and their phones? Or is the Instagram algorithm playing into it as well? And how do you balance that kind of responsibility?
Honestly, I don't think the Instagram algorithm like is doing that. I think what the Instagram algorithm sees is is men liking the post and then the post being popular, like getting, even if it doesn't get viral, like the amount of clicks per hour that it gets, its insights like go straight up. So I honestly think it's just dudes. And I mean, the amount of stuff in my DMs, horrible, horrible things. Seriously, like insane how justified these dudes were in being like, show me your, you know, vagina. Mm. I wanted to say any other word but that, but like, show me this, show me that now, you know, B word, C word, all this stuff, like really horrible. And it's this like difficult thing to deal with, because if you don't, sexualize yourself a little bit, then you get no clicks. And if you start to sexualize yourself a little bit, you get these really angry men who want to have sex with you. They hate you and they want to have sex with you and they're disgusted. They called me fat and they, you know, they would to send me tons of pictures of videos and pictures of them jerking off. Tons.
Yeah, it's so sad. Like, I managed someone's Tinder account for like 2 weeks and got the, like, it was a girl's account and for about 2 weeks, and got the similar eye opener where I was like, holy Christ, there is some amount of disgusting filth out there that comes completely left field and out of nowhere. But then, like, I suppose when you're looking at young people who want to aspire to that lifestyle, this is the valley of death that they have to go through or will be going through. Like, do you think, I don't know, do you think it's worth it?
I mean, well, like me personally, I would not want people like, you know, these YouTubers and some of the YouTubers and Instagrammers, I got to say, so I think that the atmosphere is changing. I think that you really can be yourself. There's a lot of people on YouTube and Instagram now, women and men and, you know, any gender, people are like really being them. Well, what seems like themselves, I'm sure they're amping it up a little bit, but they're being goofy, you know, and they're also being vulnerable and stuff. And they're not all about sexualizing themselves. I think I took a really intense deal that I started with. I started to do something very, very intense, but I think that there is a way to go on and be yourself and get likes and get follows and stuff. But what I worry about is why do you always want to be on screen? Who are you showing your full self to the screen and to these, like, you know, strangers, these invisible follower people that you'll never see. And so then what do you save for your friends and what do you save for yourself?
Yeah, 100%. Was there anything you found enjoyable about it? Like, we're kind of shitting on it here a little bit, but was there anything good with trying to become an influencer for 30 days?
I mean, like, I really, yeah, first of all, Vice paid for me to get a bunch of slutty clothes. Great. I love that. I did, you know, it is fun. Like I said, I think I have a woman's body and I think that it's funny to sexualize it, but kind of when I'm like really leaning into it and being like, yes, I am sexy. I think that was really fun for me to be like, yeah, people think that I'm, you know, they think I'm a bimbo, you know, they really want to have sex with me. Wow. Like, I think that was kind of fun. And also just like, yeah, getting into this headspace of being like, of being like this kind of vapid, which, you know, I totally put that on it myself. I'm sure, you know, you could be very intelligent and very, very sexy at the same time. Let me not say that that's not possible, but I think that it was really fun for me to like kind of get myself into this role and be this. I would talk like this when I would do videos. I would say, hi, it's Sally Sensation. And I think that was really fun for me to like play that role. Yeah. Before the men started being quite so cruel. But I was just talking about this last night and to an older woman, she's in her 50s. And she was like, well, honey, at least they were willing to pay you for it. Because these dudes would be like, I'll send you $30 if you'll show me your boobs.
And that's another thing, because I know that's a huge amount of people have gone from maybe being slightly provocative and doing that stuff on Instagram and now have transitioned over to OnlyFans and are, you know, sharing explicit content online, and they're making a fortune. You know, they're making 50, 60, 70 grand a month in some situations. Like, could you see More people getting nudged into that line of stuff? I mean, if you're in college and you're screwed, you've no money. And is that a good or a bad thing, like, overall, do you think?
And you're getting all this attention from men. Mm. Maybe you've never had that much attention before. And everyone is, yeah, they're not only are they giving you attention and telling you that you're so beautiful, but also they're willing to give you money for it. It's extremely difficult to turn down. But once you go down that road, you have to understand the consequences. And like, I have friends that are sex workers. I think sex work is a good thing. But like, yeah, if you don't take your time and really think about what you're doing, and you just sort of start doing it on a whim, I mean, before you know it, you're going to be in over your head, and you might not actually agree with it. You know, you might actually be uncomfortable in that situation you put yourself in. So, you know, I think you just really have to think. I know it sucks, but think before you do anything. Like, just think about it before you really get yourself into that OnlyFans world.
Yeah, do your 5-year plan and then come back and kind of go, if the end of this is me on OnlyFans, happy days, job done. Before we wrap up, was there anything else that you found either surprising or interesting to you doing this over the month?
Well, you know what the thing that really pushed me over the top, I was in it like probably 700 or 800 followers, and I was staying there kind of stagnantly for a while. But we went to Times Square to like take pictures of me like twerking in Times Square or whatever, and this guy was just on the street, like also making videos of himself. He was an influencer too, making videos of himself running around in a gold thong. And so we just like found each other and we took like we made a video of like, you know, an almost nude foot race up yeah. and down the stairs in Times Square. And he had like a couple 100,000 followers. And from him posting that, I got like a lot of followers. That's what ended up making me get to like, you know, like 2,000 or whatever, 1,800 or whatever I ended with. So I think that is kind of surprising. Like, you know, just working together, it's kind of a beautiful tuck your kids in at night moral. Like working together really, you know, brings more people to look at your ass on Instagram.
A new book by Sally Burtnick. Out this Christmas, which will be beautiful. Well, Sally, it's been a really interesting chat, and I'm sure like you'll be doing a lot more interesting stuff. Do you want to give a plug to your normal socials? Do you have them so people can find you and see what else you're doing?
Absolutely. I'm also a comedian. I'm doing a show this Monday, the 25th in Brooklyn, New York. If anyone's listening to this, and we'll be in Brooklyn, New York. And you can find me online at Punk Rock SNL. That's my Instagram handle. It was my first AOL screen name. And I thought it was funny. So Punk Rock SNL, like Saturday Night Live.
Brilliant. Well, thanks a million for popping on FM 104 this evening, and we will chat to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.